Glad to see everyone that's here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you are our honored guest. We're so happy that you are here, and we hope and pray that you'll be with us any opportunity that you have. I'd like you to be turning with me this morning to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll pick up with verse 9 in just a few moments. Friends, when you think of the cross, what comes to mind? We know that as we read in Scripture that the cross was considered an instrument of shame. It was an instrument that was reserved for capital punishment, that was reserved for those that were not Roman citizens, that were of the slave class or of a criminal breed. And we know that it was one that that was a shame, as the Scripture tells us to bear. When it says that Jesus despised the shame, friend, if we go and we do our research, and we find what it took for Jesus to be placed on that cross, and we understand more fully what He had to endure, then maybe we can come to better understand the shame of the cross as the world saw it. He would have been placed upon this wood with barely, if anything, on him at all, exposed to the elements, exposed to the world, exposed to his peers. People would see him in such a way that they had never seen him before or would again. But we as Christians, friends, we ought to look at the cross in a different light altogether. We're going to spend the next few weeks. Of course, we'll have to have a pause in our series as we start today for our gospel meeting, but we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about the cross and what it ought to represent to you and I as Christians. In John chapter 15, beginning there in verse 9, Jesus has just given his discourse to the disciples concerning the true vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And then he continues in verse 9 saying, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now remember, he just talked about being the true vine and abiding in the vine, right? Now he's telling his disciples how to abide in that vine. To abide in his love, you abide in the vine. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So as we open our series this morning, friends, when we think of the cross, when we look at the cross, we ought to see it as love. Let's consider some things together. Consider seeing the cross in our daily lives. When we think about it, when we meditate upon it, when it is up on our minds, we need to remember that the Old Testament looks toward the cross. The New Testament looks back to the cross. And friends, we ought to do the same. We call Acts chapter 2 the hub of the Bible, don't we? Because everything that before Acts 2 leads to Acts 2, and everything after Acts 2 tells us how to remain there. And so it is the focal point of Scripture, really. Everything that we read in the Gospel accounts, what's it leading to? To the day of Pentecost, when Peter would preach the first Gospel sermon and his church would be established. I want us to take the next couple of minutes, and I want us to look at some Scriptures here together. Let's turn first to Acts 18 and verse 27. Acts 18 and verse 27. Scripture says, "And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped through those who had believed through grace." Okay, let's continue. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. "For Christ," Paul says, "did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no or none effect." Verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11. "And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased." Turn over one more chapter to Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse 12. We read, "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." Verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Consider verse 16. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." Philippians 2. And verse 8 is next. Philippians 2 and verse 8. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Turn over a chapter to chapter 3 and look at verse 18. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." You go over to Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 20. "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Chapter 2 and verse 14 of Colossians. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements or ordinances," the King James says, "that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to" what? "The cross." Now, friends, as we've taken these couple of minutes to read these verses, I want you to answer this question. Does the cross of Christ mean as much to me as it is described in the verses we've just read? And if the answer to that question, friends, is no, then we've got a serious problem on our hands. As a matter of fact, one of the verses we just read, Paul would refer to you as an enemy of the cross. Friends, we have to understand how important the cross is over the course of history. It altered the course of history. Everything that you and I do as Christians, as followers of Christ, is governed by what took place upon the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection. And that sinner is there upon that cross. Does the cross of Christ mean to me what it says in these verses? Now, go back to John 15. John 15. I want you to look at the key text within this particular chapter. Listen to what Jesus says. "Greater love has no one or no man than this, than to lay down his life." Lay down one's life for his friends. You go down then to verse 14, and Jesus continues that thought. "You are my friends when? If you do whatever I command you." Friends, when we look at the cross, and we consider the cross as love, friends, we have to understand that that's going to include some things. God loved us enough that He sent His Son to that cross. And that's what I want us to talk about as our first point this morning. When we look at the cross as love, we have to understand that the cross is God's love demonstrated. The cross is God's love demonstrated. Look at Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. New King James says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Friends, Paul tells us that even though we were still enemies, even though we were still at odds, even though in the strictest sense of the word, we still hated God, He sent His Son to die so that our relationship could be restored. The great love of God, friends, is seen as He sent His Son to die for all of us, for humankind, when they and we were still sinners deserving to be punished. You know, we talk a lot of times about who deserved to be on. Christ, obviously, and certainly did not deserve to die the death that He died. He was innocent. He had no sin. He had no guile. There was not a deceitful bone in His body. There was not a selfish bone in His body. There was no reason for Him to be on the cross. You and I deserved that death. All of mankind deserved that death. And yet He took it upon Himself. Why? Because of His love. We've talked about before, I believe, from this very pulpit, that it was not the nails that held Jesus on that cross. We sing the song, He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. Why didn't He? Because of His love. And friends, the cross is God's love demonstrated. This demonstrates the great love that God has for His creation. Men do not merit this love. We don't deserve that love. And so we have to understand that the love that we see in the cross magnifies the love of God. And it magnifies God Himself. Consider with me 1 John 4 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, "In this is love," John says. "In this is love, not that we love God." Okay? Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6 and verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." We deserve nothing from the hand of God. But John says, this is love, not that we loved God. In reality, when we sin, when we separate ourselves from God, as I said a few moments ago, we demonstrate hate for Him. We demonstrate that we don't love Him. So not that we loved God, but rather that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So let's break this down just a little bit. Let's look at some points together from 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Friends, number one, God, from this verse, we understand that God loves Christians. Why do we love God? We sing sometimes, He first loved us. We love God and when we obey His commands, we want to do what is right in His sight because He first loved us and He demonstrated that love through sending His Son. He loved Christians and we, as Christians, love Him. Now friends, God's love is seen in the fact that He sent that Son. He sent Jesus the Christ. His own unique Son, His own special Son, as some versions put it, but His only begotten Son, the promised One, the anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, the Prince of Peace. All of those names the Bible mentions, He sent Him to be the sacrifice and the only one that could ever and would ever satisfy His justice. The Hebrews writer is very clear in Hebrews chapter 9 that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away the sins of the world. You could sacrifice bulls and goats to extinction. And all their blood would never reconcile man's relationship with God. A perfect man sinned in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. And the only way that that relationship would ever be reconciled was that a perfect man die. There was no other solution. This is the only one that was ever going to satisfy that justice. So that sin could be punished, but also that the sinner could be forgiven. Friends, we all have that opportunity. And friends, that, in a nutshell, is what propitiation means. That's what it means. Now, propitiation is found only in 1 John 4 and verse 10 and then 1 John 2 and verse 2. But friends, what we see in that word and in that context is that God's great love is seen in His providing the way for men to be reconciled to Him. Now friends, you think about this for just a moment. When you think about the word reconciliation, who is responsible for initiating reconciliation? Is it the one that has been wronged or the one doing the wrong? The responsible party is the one doing the wrong. Now the catch is, as far as you and I are concerned, there is nothing that you and I could ever do in order to be reconciled to God. We couldn't live a perfect life. We couldn't be that sacrifice, and again, there's no sacrifice that we can make. And so, if God really wanted to have that relationship with His creation, what did He have to do? He had to put something in place. He had to do something for us. He had to take those steps so that you and I could have hope. Now friends, with that in mind, this is the type of love that Christians are to have. Christians are to love God because He loves them. We are to love God because He loves us. Isn't that what He says? Isn't that what Christ says in John chapter 3? There in speaking to Nicodemus, we get down to chapter 3 and verse 16, one that we know by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, oftentimes we quote that verse and we forget about verses 17 and 18. Look at them with me. Verse 17. Now remember verse 16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in Him, in Christ, is not condemned, but he who does not believe, notice this, is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friends, God has very clearly demonstrated His love toward us. And just as the Father demonstrated His love by sending His Son to the cross, Christ demonstrates His love by the cross as well. Again, let's go back to the book of John. Let's look at chapter 10 for a moment. Chapter 10, look at verses 17 and 18. Jesus says, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. You know, Pilate thought he was taking the life of Jesus. The Sanhedrin thought that they were taking the life of Jesus. The devil thought he was taking the life of Jesus. But according to God in the flesh, He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, he says, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Now they go back to John 14. Look at verse 31. John 14, 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now back over to chapter 15, and again look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, Jesus says, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Friends, you remember Jesus in the garden. And he goes and he prays. Matter of fact, I think one of the verses we sung this morning had that line, didn't it? Not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine. Friends, Jesus knew what lay in store for him. Jesus knew what was coming. And he went so far as to pray that if there is any other way, then let it be that way. But if there is no other way, so be it. Friends, how willing would we be? You think about this. And let's think of it in the light of God's commands. As Jesus said, he kept the Father's commands. Let's think about this logically for just a moment. Was there any other way for Jesus to save mankind but to go to the cross? Jesus asked, if there is, let it be that way. Obviously, because Jesus went to the cross, there was no other way. God made that clear. And Jesus says, because there is no other way, he demonstrates his love toward us, because there is no other way, I will go to the cross. Even though he had the power to call 10,000 angels, even though he had the power to come down from the cross, even though he had the power to do whatever he wanted to do as God in the flesh, he stayed on the cross. He shed his blood for the remission of my sins. Now Jesus, also in the book of John, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus is very clear on how one is saved. But friends, when we look at the denominational world today, when we look at the religious world today, what do we see? Well, you can be saved any one of about 200 different ways, according to denominational doctrine. How many ways does Jesus describe? You know, we can pray that same prayer that Jesus prayed, can't we? God, if there is any other way for me to be saved, let me be saved. But God has made it very plain that there is no other way for me to be saved but through the cross. And we find out as Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he started in Isaiah 53 and he preached unto him Jesus. And it was when they came across water that the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Friends, the preaching of Jesus, the preaching of the cross, includes baptism for the remission of sins. It's in that, through that obedience to the commands of the Father in heaven, that Christ demonstrated His love toward us as He did toward the Father. And friends, when we see the cross as love, we see God's love demonstrated, we see Christ's love demonstrated, and friends, we ought to see our love demonstrated. Or at least, it ought to motivate us to demonstrate our love. And friends, by loving God the Father, by loving God the Son, by loving God the Holy Spirit, by loving God's Word, with a strong love, according to Matthew 22 and verse 37, we read, you shall love the Lord your God. With what? With all of your being. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. When we see the cross as love, we demonstrate that love, friends, by loving God, by loving the Son, by loving the Holy Spirit, by loving the Word, and by loving others with a strong love. Again, Matthew 22 and verse 39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We demonstrate our love by loving God, loving the Son, loving the Holy Spirit, loving His Word with strong love. And that love, friends, causes us to be obedient to Him. Again, you go back to John chapter 15. And you look at verses 9 and 10. And Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide, live, dwell in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Friends, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a branch wants to continue to live, where must it remain? It must remain in the vine. How do I do that? Jesus says, keep my commandments and abide in my love. If we are to demonstrate our love to him, we must be obedient. Now, seeing the cross as love, do we see the love that the cross represents a little clearer? I hope that we do. That we see all the love that is demonstrated by the Father, that is demonstrated by Christ, and friends, how we ought to demonstrate our love for God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and His Word by how we live. Let's put away our Bible. Let's take out our song. Let's ready to sing the song of invitation here in just a moment. Friends, Jesus loved you enough. He loved me enough. He loved us enough to go to the cross. He demonstrated his love by staying on the cross. He made it clear that he was going to do whatever it took to give man the opportunity to be reconciled to God. Friends, it may be that you're here this morning having never taken advantage of that love. Having never taken advantage of that love, that gift that was freely given upon the cross, that blood that was shed for the remission of your sins. Friends, if you are sitting here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, having never been baptized in water for the remission of your sins, why not this morning do just that? Why not put Christ on in baptism? Why not become a child of God? Would you do that this morning? Believing that Jesus is God's Son? Knowing that He died for your sins, are you willing, friend, to repent of those sins? Turn your back upon the world. Confess Him and be baptized, immersed in water. Friend, it may be that you're here having done all of that. And as faithful as you may have been in the past, maybe you, like Peter, have fallen away and need to be restored. You remember that Peter denied Christ 3 times. Friend, it may be that you've been living your life in denial of the Christ, in denial of the cross, in denial of the love that was demonstrated there for you. Deny Him no longer. Come on. Friend, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, in any way, shape, or form, we ask that you come. We stand while we sing.